Coming up, I'm going to reveal a conversation that changed everything for me professionally. And that can happen to you as well. And then mass layoffs, creating a lot of cynicism among Google employees. What does it mean for all of us? We'll go through it. Let's do it. Helping you grow personally so that you can grow professionally and then lead effectively. That is our aim here. We want you to maximize your income and your impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. I think some of the greatest opportunities of your professional growth, your career, if you look back, career being a body of work, I think that some of those opportunities could turn out to be complete, total shocks. I really believe this. I'm not saying this is the truth for everybody. I'm not saying this is a gospel truth and just lay this kind of flat. However, I think for many of you who today may be feeling stuck, you feel emotionally stuck. I can't catch a break. I've been putting the work in, and it's just not happening. Can I just tell you that opportunities, they seemingly come out of nowhere, almost drop from the heavens. I've heard countless stories like this, and this was true for me. And I want to share a story that seems as though it was an accident, but I believe, honestly, God was working in the details the entire time. Now, for those of you who that makes you a little uncomfortable, you go, I don't know about the God thing. I don't know. Okay, let's take that out of it. And let's just talk about being open, raising our hand, and what happens. And before I get into the story, because this literally changed my life. In fact, I'm not here today doing the work I've been able to do with Ramsey Solutions, Dave Ramsey, if it's not for this story. That's how big this is. Now, before I set the story up, I want you to take yourself back to elementary school. And I want you to take yourself back to a classroom where maybe the teacher asked for someone to volunteer. Okay? I want you to take yourself back to that. And you may not have been the person who raised their hand instantly. Or you may not have been the person who goes the next level besides being the first one to raise their hand, but the person who gets their hand up. And you remember this one right here? Remember the kid that would lift their arm a little bit higher, the old support move? Okay, I want you to remember that. And that is the posture, the attitude that I want you to walk away from this story with. As the critical attitude and emotion that will get you unstuck. So here's the story. So I am in a season of unrest. I am working for John Maxwell, legendary leadership guru. And this was a corporate job for me. It was a good job. Had a lot of fun. There was a lot of meaning in it. It wasn't in any way some boring, soul-sucking, stressed-out situation. It wasn't bad at all. But for me at the time, it was a holding place. And I knew there was something else in the future, and I was weighing a couple options. Okay, that's the setting. And one of the options that I was weighing was broadcasting and doing more in the area of doing interviews and then beginning to share my opinion. And this was stirring inside of me, and it was by no means a clear path. It was by no means a very clear destination. It was just, dealing with some fear and doubt of what that would look like. So I'm working for John Maxwell in this moment, and we had a simulcast, a large leadership simulcast. And one of the speakers that we had booked was Hall of Fame Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, affectionately known as Coach K. And he was to be one of the keynote speakers. And I was not involved with the event at all. I worked in another division, but I was a VP. And so, you know, very aware of it and would be there as a company player and enjoy the event. But I was not doing any work for the event. Well, I get a call one afternoon, about a month or so before the event is to happen. And it's the president of the company, my buddy Kevin. And he says, Coleman, I need you to come to my office really quick. Okay, I'll be right there. I walk in his office. He's clearly stressed out. And he begins to tell the story that Coach K has had a very very special circumstance, a very rare circumstance that has come his way. And it's a no-brainer. We understood it. We weren't mad at him. We would have done the same thing. And he had approached us and had said, guys, I have another very personal thing that I've been invited to do, and I've got to do it. I've never canceled a speaking gig in all my years, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to do it. I feel bad. We've got a couple options. We'll give you a full refund. I'll do an interview if that will help, because my name is on all the marketing. And so here I am. I'm hearing this story from Kevin, and Kevin, and there's several of us in the room, leaders, and he's kind of getting our feedback. And he basically says, I like the option of the interview, because at least we deliver on our marketing, and the audience isn't disappointed that Coach K hasn't shown up. I think that's our best option. Let's take it. And everybody agreed. And then we began to say, okay, who can do it? And we didn't have anybody at the time. I was not doing any interviews, folks. I'd never done an interview before in my life. And we're all kind of just beating it around. And I say, well, listen, I've built a relationship with a guy named Bob Rathbun, who to this day is the voice, the TV play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA. At the time, he was doing the Hawks and the Atlanta Braves for Fox Sports South. And he was a leadership, personal growth junkie. And I'd met him at a local event one time that we were doing. And he was just a good guy. We built a somewhat of an acquaintance. And I said, well, you know what? Bob's a pro. Bob would probably love to do this and be associated with the event. Let me call him and see if he's even available. He's got a crazy schedule. Well, as fate would have it, Bob said he was available, and we got Bob, and we lined him up. But Bob said to me, he goes, hey, I got a lot going on. Would you be willing to help me prepare for the interview? And I went, are you kidding me? Work with a legit sports broadcaster? I love Coach K. I had already read his book. I grew up a Duke fan. That's kind of the side part of the story. And so I agree to do it. And so I begin to reread the book, and I begin to prepare the interview. He says, write the interview for me. I'll throw out what I don't want. I'll add stuff to it. So I said, great. So I wrote the interview for him. So we're now about a week out. I've done my part. And oh, by the way, what I said was to Bob and to Kevin, I said, I'm helping Bob. I want to go to this interview. And Kevin's like, of course. You're helping write the interview. So I get to meet Coach K. I'm all excited just to meet Coach K. Well, fast forward a week out, get a call from Coach K, and he says, from Bob, the sportscaster. He goes, guys, you're not going to believe this. We had a rain out last week. Major League Baseball has scheduled the makeup game on the day that I'm supposed to do this interview at Duke for you guys. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. Well, now at this point, it's too late for us to make a change. It's too late. So now that same group of people huddled back in Kevin's office, and we're going, what are we going to do? And one of the guys in the room said, Coleman can do it. He wrote the interview. He's got the chops. And Kevin looked at me and said, you want to do it? And this is the moment. This is the moment I want you to get. This is the moment, like the elementary school, do you raise your hand? Do you put your hand on your armpit and really raise your hand and wave and go, pick me, pick me? And in that moment, I just responded, yes, I'd love to. And then I remember going from exultation and excitement to, oh, crap, I got to interview Coach K. And this is going to be on video, and 100,000 people are going to watch this interview. That was the reality. So the day came, go do the interview. And halfway through the interview, we stopped to change tapes. And it was in that moment that Coach looked at me. I'll never forget. We were knee to knee, and he reached out and he patted me on the knee. And he said, I can tell you something right now. I'm enjoying this interview big time. I can tell you know my book backward and forward. And I showed him the book. And by the way, the book is right up there on the shelf. Still is there to this day because it's such a significant book for me. It's the one with the white spine right up there. It's called Leading with the Heart. And I'm going to tell you something. It was an unbelievable experience. And he gave me a great compliment. And it was that day where I realized this is in fact the thing that I want to do. And this is in fact the thing I can do. So why do I tell the story? I want you, when opportunities show up, I want you to take them. I agreed to do all the legwork for the interview just to get in the same room with Coach K, but I ended up getting a seat across from him. I was the backup. So here's the point. Get in the right room. The proximity principle that I talk about. I wrote this book. It's a number one bestseller. It says, get around the right people and get in the right places. Listen, I just showed up for a cool opportunity. Then I got an amazing opportunity, a life-changing opportunity. And when confronted, Coleman, do you want to do it? The answer has got to be yes. Take it. I don't care if you throw up in your mouth, swallow it, and take it. I know that grossed everybody out, but that's the reality. Take it. You never know what's going to happen once you're there. And here's what happened. Coach gives me an unbelievable compliment in front of the producer, and it steeled within me. It burned within my heart the confidence to move forward. I will always, always, always be grateful to him. Years later, wrote his assistant and asked, would he be willing to endorse my first book? One question. And he did. And this is what he wrote. The simplicity of a singular question can hold great power to inform and inspire. Ken Coleman has asked great questions throughout his career. He is as good an interviewer as there is in this country. What? Are you kidding me? What did that do for me? Confidence and clarity. Because I was willing to step in and I was willing to step up. Keep showing up, even though you're frustrated, even though you're down. Keep showing up and look for opportunities to step up. And when you get it, step into that uncertainty and give it everything you got. You never know how it can change your life. That's what I want you to understand. You're one conversation away from an opportunity that changes your trajectory forever. Those conversations only happen if you keep showing up. I want to tell you about one of our viewers, Nick. He was a high school chemistry teacher, not making enough for his wife to stay home with their kids. A friend told him about Bethel Tech and their full stack development program, so he enrolled. He got in, he crushed it, he got hired before he even finished. For as little as $5,000 in just 15 weeks of your time, you can learn a skill that will land you a great job in tech. And remember, Ken Coleman viewers get a 10% discount. To find out more, go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are with us. If you're enjoying the program, hey, help us by spreading the word. You can do that by giving us a follow on your podcast app and a 5-star rating and share. And then if you're on YouTube, you can subscribe, give us a thumbs up, and share as well. Okay, so over our time here on the show, we have attempted to show you real news, real situations in the world of work, and then apply that to you. So this is for the employee, and this is also for leaders. This is going to have broad application. A leaked memo is getting news. This is an Inc.com article. A leaked memo from the Google CEO is getting a lot of attention. And I always wonder when I see these things, was it leaked? Like, was it stolen? Was it leaked in the sense of a disgruntled executive or somebody who got this, put this out, or was this leaked intentionally? You never know. And I just threw that out there for you conspiracy theorists to enjoy the conversation. You can comment on this. So in this memo, this was the roadmap for 2024. In other words, this is where we as Google, this is the memo, this is what our key goals are for 2024. And so I'm not going to list all these because it's really not relevant, but number 6 of the 7, this is what it said. Build a Google that's extraordinary for Googlers and the world. Now, Googlers are people that work at Google. And of course, the world, you know, the rest of us who use or could use Google. So there was a bit of disconnect to the point that a viral LinkedIn post from a not-so-happy Googler got a lot of clicks and a lot of comments. And it aligns with the reality that Google has gone through a pretty steady wave recently of ongoing layoffs. And anytime a company, I don't care how big, how famous, how wealthy, goes through a wave of layoffs. So think about the wave. So we got this one coming in, and then a couple months later, this is coming in, and it's affecting multiple departments. Listen, layoffs are a part of business. I never demonize a leader who has to make tough choices like layoffs. I mean, that's at times that's good business as a result of maybe things that they could not control or realizing that there were some decisions that were made and they weren't good decisions, and you got to deal with the pain of it. We don't just take our ball and go home. We don't just shut the business down because we don't want to lay people off. I mean, layoffs are a part of it, but there's a way to do layoffs the right way. And even if you do layoffs the right way, understand that the psychology for people who work at a company, and again, no matter how big or how famous or how powerful, those who are left behind, while grateful that they didn't get laid off, you cannot as a human avoid the psychology of, am I next? What's going to happen to me? Okay. And so there's been a lot of layoffs. And so this post, I'm not going to read the entire post, but this was by a lady by the name of Diane. And she's pretty hot. She's pretty hot. And she leads with, this is my hot take. Google does not have one single visionary leader, not a one. From the C-suite to SVPs to the VPs, they're all profoundly boring and glassy-eyed. So, wow, hello, comes right out of the gate. She's not messing around. Now, is this true? Who knows? So I'm not going to give any credibility to what she says. However, even in something like this that may be incorrect or a little bit blown up, there's always a kernel of truth. And this is what I want to focus on what she said. She said, there's a pervasive sense of cynicism. Well, I guess I'll just do my job until they fire me. A lot of people have golden handcuff situations. They make so much money, they're not going to walk away from the salary, but nobody works late anymore. The buildings are half empty in the afternoon. A lot of people, myself included, who used to happily do extra work, evenings and weekends to get the job done, we don't anymore. That's gone. Executives are cashing out their human capital at the very moment it seems to me like they really need it. Now, let's take all of this with a grain of salt, okay? Or maybe a shaker of salt. Is she correct? I don't know. I don't want to focus on that because, again, you can have some really unhappy people who fire something away. And the LinkedIn post, obviously it went viral, a lot of comments. Some people said, well, hey, and I can give you kind of two buckets. Yes, I agree. This is happening with a lot of companies and that whole, you know, we're screwed and, you know, we can't get ahead. The worker can't get ahead, which I disagree with. And then there were multiple sentiments that basically said, okay, well, if it's so clear that things are not good and not going to get better, and you know this, then why not leave? And again, Diane says in the post, it's a golden handcuff situation, which is, of course, you know, an old way of describing kind of a colloquialism of, well, you know, it's so good. I'm getting paid well. Maybe I can't get that anywhere else. It's going to be harder to get paid anywhere else. So I'm handcuffed to this job. So that's the situation. Now, here's what I want to share on this. And this is for those of you who feel like you're in a situation like this, a not so great company culture. You're not happy, and you've got a little bit of fear, okay? What would it look like for me to leave? Am I handcuffed to this? I mean, this is important, and this is for those of you who are leaders who maybe can make some change, if only in your division, or you can't make change, or you have the ability to really make the change. So here we go. First, number one, a vision that is not shared is not a vision. A vision that is not shared is not a vision. I mean, this is leadership 101 stuff. In other words, the big beef was by this post was, oh, this is a bunch of garbage and they don't have any vision. Well, I don't know, because this memo outlines some clear goals. Are those goals attached to a vision? I gotta believe they are. But herein lies the breakdown. A vision that is not shared is not a vision. So if the executives have got this vision and they haven't shared it with everybody else, then it's not a vision. It's a secret. That's the first thing. A lack of vision casting then creates a vacuum of negative imagination. In other words, if you aren't communicating to the company and to everybody what the vision is, and I'm going to explain how that should sound with a very simple breakdown in a moment, here's what happens. It creates a vacuum in everybody's minds, and then gossip, and everybody kind of gets together and they go, well, we don't know what the vision is. And so people begin to say, well, here's what I think the vision could be or should be. And we start talking about that. And the idea is when people don't know where they stand, then it creates a lot of negative imagination. So here's a real simple thing in 30 seconds. Here's how we share vision, how we should share vision leaders. Number one, tell everybody where we're going. This is where we're going. Very specific. This is where we're going as a company. Two, why we are going there. This is the destination, and this is why we believe we should be there. And then third, this is how we're going to get there. It's that simple. So if you want to craft a vision, leaders, I just want to give you a one-on-one. And by the way, you can do this with a team of five people. Here's what you have to answer for people. You got to tell them where they're going, where we are going, why we are going there, and how we'll get there. And that'll create unbelievable communication and eventually trust and a great plan. It's that simple. Even the big companies aren't doing this. All right, what if you could get tremendous self-awareness and very clear professional direction in 15 to 20 minutes? Would you do it? Would you spend that kind of time to come away with that awareness and direction? If the answer is yes, you have got to try the Get Clear Career Assessor. This tool has taken off. We're so excited about it. I created this tool several years ago. Based on years and years of coaching people to figure out, hey, what is it that I want to do with my life? What's my sweet spot? And the answer is that sweet spot, that thing that you were created to do, is when you are using what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter deeply to you, mission. And so this tool will give you a detailed report in all three of those areas. Think of it as three threads, and it's going to reveal those threads, how they come together to do work that is meaningful and allow you to make the maximum amount of money. Hello. And so it's called the Get Clear Assessment. It's only $30. You can get it at kencoleman.com/assessment, kencoleman.com/assessment. All right, to the phones we go. Caroline is joining us for a little coaching session in Salt Lake City. Caroline, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Well, I have been struggling with my job, what I want to do. I've tried two different career paths that I thought I was really going to love, and neither of them have been what I hoped. So I took the Get Clear assessment and I got my results and I was like, okay, great. But I still just feel stuck as to what direction I want to go in.
Okay. So this happens a lot. And by the way, I've written a small book that you're going to get soon because it's coming out in May. We'll start talking about it soon, but it picks people up where their assessment results are, because there are some people who take that assessment and they go, bing, I got it. I can see it. And other people like you that still get tripped up. So the results, they helped you. They it's clear you know who you are. Yes? Did you agree with it? Did you feel like I was honest with myself and I got the results and it makes sense? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So what are you unsure of? What are you stuck on?
I guess.
Because I think you got some ideas. I think you got some ideas when you read your purpose statement. True?
I did.
Oh, wait a second.
I guess I got scared.
There we go. And by the way, welcome to the party, Caroline. It's okay to be scared. Even when you see the mountain. So from what I understand, you've got a couple of ideas or one clear mountain, and now it's like, ugh, I got to climb the mountain, and that's really scary. Is that what's really going on?
Yeah, sort of. I guess I've always been someone who's able to make a dream and then chase it, and I get super excited about it. And so I guess I'm just feeling unsure if the thoughts that I'm having are actually
right.
good ideas
because
I've
Hit
tried
me with
a
it.
couple things.
Hit me.
And
Hit me with it. What's the big idea? What's the top idea?
well, there's two.
Great.
One of them, I love working with children. I always have. And I love, you know, performing, telling stories, singing. So I would like to do something like be a princess at parties that could help with children like that. Or the other is sort of completely different sphere, which is I teach at my as an adjunct at my college and love being a professor.
Okay,
so
let's.
I would need to get a PhD instead of just my master's degree to do that full time.
All right, so let's look at both of these. Okay, before we look at these, do you have a certain amount of income that you have to make, or do you have flexibility there that whatever you make is just gravy?
Well, I mean, if I want to get a house out here in Utah, the market is pretty crazy. So
yeah.
I'd have to get like $80,000 a year or more.
Okay, so that's our target.
To afford a townhouse.
Okay, so
yeah.
$80,000 a year is our target. And how old are you?
I'm 25.
You're 25, so you're young and we got time. So that's great. What are you doing for a living now?
I'm working two jobs. I work full-time at a nonprofit where I'm a mental health advocate and instructor. And then I do the adjunct professor work
part-time.
At my
gotcha.
Local university.
Okay, great. And what's your income right now?
Right now it's about $55,000 a year.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere here. All right. So the princess and the actress at kids' parties, that's not an $80,000 a year gig. True or false?
Right. Yeah, I think that would be true.
Okay. So that let's at least go ahead and categorize that as a fun side gig that, you know, you can make some money at. I don't know how much, you know. Do you know that market? Like, okay, so if you show up as one of the characters from Frozen for 20 little girls at a party, what's the going rate on that?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure. I know I would love it, but I've
sure.
sort of pushed it away.
Okay, but don't push it away. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a fun thing that you like to do, and it's not going to pay the bills anyway. So if you feel like you want to try that at the age of 25, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I'm going to start telling people, and maybe you come up with three princesses that you kind of look like, or you feel you really love them, and you go get the outfits, go ahead and save up the cash and invest in them and put it out there on social and start doing it. It's just fun. You got me?
Yeah.
Dude, let's have fun with that. That to me, I think it'll feed your soul. True or false?
True.
All right. So we'll do it. All right, great. We move on. Next, number two. I want to go from adjunct professor to full-time professor. And what would we be teaching?
Interpersonal and intercultural communication.
All right. And so you're telling me that with a master's degree, you can only stay at the adjunct level. So you must have a PhD to become a full-time professor.
There are some small colleges that will allow only a master's degree.
Okay, would that
be extremely competitive?
Well, but okay, welcome to the world.
Yeah, I've applied to several of them and just haven't heard anything.
Okay, great. But my point is, it's possible.
Yeah.
So we need to steel ourselves and go, welcome to the real world. I'm going to have to compete. Winning professionally, growing professionally requires that I compete. So we don't shrink away from competition. We get better at it. I'm going to give you my book, The Proximity Principle. And I want you to read it. You can listen to it, read it, whichever version you want. And I want you to get serious about not just applying to these smaller schools where it's competitive. I want you meeting people, department heads. Who do I know that works at this school? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to double down, Caroline. Would you do that?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's look at the PhD option too. Okay. How much would that cost and how long would it take?
So I have been doing some research about that. my professors that I've worked with in the past said I should only accept an offer at a school where they would pay for it.
Great. I like the sound of that.
Yes, me too. I would be teaching classes for them, and then they would pay for the degree, which I love anyway.
Great. What are we doing to pursue that?
3 or 4 years.
Okay. So what are we doing to move forward on that plan?
I think I would need to get with my professors again and then start really narrowing down on where to go.
Great.
You know, working through the anxiety about moving.
There it is. There's the issue. So right back to the start of the call. You're not stuck. You're scared.
Yeah.
Because the lady I'm talking to right now, Caroline, has a very clear direction.
Yes.
And the lady I'm talking to right now, Caroline, has got a lot of passion.
True.
So what are we most scared of? Let's name it. Just say it. I don't care how it sounds. What is the thing? Because fear is I'm worried that something bad is going to happen if I step out and move forward. What is the thing you're most scared of? Tell me.
I'm scared of feeling like I've failed again and being alone.
Well, first of all, I got it. You're 25. So I don't know what big failure you've had to this point. But it's probably not devastating. Am I right?
it was pretty rough, but
what'd you do? Tell me. Yes. What was the failure? Give it to me in 5 seconds. What did you do?
I was a kindergarten teacher.
Okay.
And I loved my students, but my administrator was pretty abusive.
Okay.
And
guess what?
I also had some crazy students.
Great. But you didn't fail. You were put in an environment and the environment failed you. True or false?
That's true.
Come on, Caroline. I'm talking to somebody who's got a bounce in her step. She's laughing. It wasn't devastating. Did it suck? Yeah. But you're making good money now. You were put into an awful environment. I can tell you that an environment like that, was it public school?
It was a charter school.
Yeah. Well, point is you were put in a rough environment. And so on the collegiate level, you're not going to have that. You're going to have a bunch of spoiled brats per se. They're there to learn on purpose. So here's my point. The thing you're afraid of, you're not going to be alone in your failure. I could tell you failure after failure after failure after failure after failure after failure. I could do a whole episode on failures. You're not alone. And you're going to be okay. You got it?
Got it.
You know exactly what you want to do and why, don't you, Caroline?
Yeah, I do.
All right, then. So here's the deal. Welcome to Dealing with Fear. It only shows up for people who want to move forward. We now know we have no evidence. So move ahead. Press on. This is The Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.